This episode is brought to you by The Waxing Guide, a true guide to get you through all of your waxing needs. And I am so excited to bring you a really special class happening right now. In the show links below, you can give it a good click and it will take you into a free master class called Time is Money, where I teach you, the soft wax instructor, how to take control of your finances through Brazilian waxing. If you are somebody who is doing 20 minutes, 35 minute, 45 minute Brazilian waxing, you're somebody who struggles with technique and really having those ultimate struggles from Brazilian waxing, and you want to learn how to make 3 to 4 times your income in your business, then this is a class for you. Like I said, it's completely free to take. And I suggest getting on it because it is limited time and it also comes jammed packed with bonuses that you will never see again. Like I said, check it out in the show notes below. And I am so excited for you to get your hands on this masterclass. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Waxing Podcast. My name is Kirsten. I am your host. And today I'm so excited because the week before last, I got the opportunity to be on this person's podcast. So the roles are reversed. I have Ashley from Ageless Ashley on today.
Hello. I am so excited to be here.
We had such a fun time podcasting the last time. So I was like, you and I talked at the end and I'm like, okay, let's set you up to come onto my podcast, because I feel like even though you primarily focus on skincare, the amount of knowledge and what you can share to others can be universal and used with any esthetician.
Yeah, I loved our conversation and it was one of my favorites because I feel like the flow between us, because we're both podcasters, is just like easy, you know, like it's not either of our first time on a podcast and it felt way more like a conversation. So I'm really happy to be here today.
I think one of the things about being a podcaster too is like you're really good at picking up the blank spaces when there are some. So it's interesting being with like another podcaster because it's just kind of like, okay, talk, 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 yes. Talk. Like there's really no empty space because you and I are so used to covering it in times of need.
Yeah, it's like ping pong. Like, okay, your turn.
Yeah. I was just telling Ashley that I just came directly from my
bio repeal. It's a mouthful.
Yes. Bio repeal facial. So since I am on this platform, you guys can all see I am glowing, but I am like a little red. So, but I love skincare. So like, if anything, Ashley, this podcast is going to be all about that. But I do want to talk a lot about your journey and the aesthetics career, just because you've been in it for so long. And I think the value of that is you've also seen it change so much. So tell everyone a little bit about like the beginnings and how long you've been an esthetician for.
Yeah, it is interesting the way I've seen the industry evolve. And then also, I was looking over some of the questions you sent me before we recorded, and you asked something really interesting. It's like, what were your goals when you first started versus now? And I was thinking back to that, and I was just like, I had no idea what I wanted when I started. I was 18 when I became a licensed esthetician, so I really didn't have a clue like what my long-term goals were, and I didn't have a growth mindset yet. And it was like, it's interesting to see your own growth in this industry as time passes.
Do you remember like what got you going to esthetician school in the first place?
Yeah, so I had really bad cystic acne all on my jawline, my chin, all throughout my teenage years. It started when I was 12 and continued until I was about 17 when I found an esthetician. My mom took me to every dermatologist under the sun where we lived, and they throw topical prescriptions at you and oral prescriptions, and I was on Accutane. I did two rounds of Accutane, and nothing cleared it up. It always came back. And I finally sought out an esthetician in my area, and she was also a naturopath. So she specialized in like holistic integrative facials and treatments. And she would send you somewhere to get your blood work done. And then she would take your blood work and she would figure out what supplements you needed to start on, like what you were deficient in, if you had any allergies that were triggering acne. Like, she was amazing. And I think just being exposed to her, honestly, got me. I was so excited about this. I was like, oh my gosh, you can really change someone's, my acne cleared up in 3 months.
After I was going to say, I'm like, so what was like the ending result of working with an esthetician?
It was amazing. We figured out that I had an allergy to eggs at the time. And fun fact, your allergies change every 3 years. So it's funny because I eat eggs like all the time now and no issues at all. But I was allergic to like a few of my favorite things. I was allergic to eggs, walnuts, like really random things that I was consuming so regularly at the time. And I cut those out. That was a big part of it. That was like the inflammation piece of it. And then, of course, the skincare, the products. Like, everything you're doing when you're a teenager is so wrong, especially back then. Like, it was, there was
especially
nothing.
Now. We have TikTok. Ashley, I literally just saw a new beauty posted this, which I think is crazy because do you know New Beauty on Instagram?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They always post like the best trends. And I feel like they posted this one happening right now. People are putting Visine in their moisturizer and putting it on their face because they're seeking out instant gratification from redness.
Oh my gosh. You know, nothing shocks me anymore. I think from being in this industry for so long and working with clients for so long, I have heard it all. I had a client a long time ago when I first started doing facials in the Bay Area, who told me that she was toning her face with Windex. Like, not joking. Like, someone told her to do that and that it worked, and that's what she was doing. And it like broke my heart because I'm like, these people, like, that's the thing is, no, you don't really know unless you are going to a professional what's right. You just hear things from, I think she heard it from like a close friend's sister or something, like, just, you know, it was like before TikTok, that's what it was. Like, it was like, just, you hear things from like your family and your friends, like what to do. And none of it, I mean, so little of it actually works unless you're seeing a professional.
I feel like maybe like back then when you were getting your facial at 17, it's almost like there was not enough information. Whereas now we're dealing with the complete opposite of the issue where there's so much information and like we're now trying to have to weed through what's true and what's not.
Oh my gosh, 100%. Like, I totally agree with that. I think we're just bombarded and we spend our time. That's how a lot of people spend their time, scrolling, and we're hyper connected to people who we don't know in real life. We don't know what their motivations are. That's another big thing. I think that is a big disconnect when you're following an influencer and you feel like you know them, right? Like, you feel like you have a real relationship with them. But in real life, they're being paid by different brands to promote products. And we have to remember that. We have to remember where people's motivations lie. And it's not a bad thing. I mean, I work with brands, you work with brands, like, we know that's the way, I mean, that's the way of the world now. Like, that's just the way it is. But we have to remember that as consumers and take it with a grain of salt.
This is something that I actually saw ironically yesterday, but I was on my For You page and there was a girl talking about how she actually felt like her acne and her inflammation and her skin got worse by seeing an esthetician. I know you know what video, because I went to the comments and I saw you actually write on there. And I just want to say, as like a friend to a friend, your words are so like thoughtfully done. Like, you use them so collectively. Like, I was reading your comment and I'm like, oh my gosh, like, this is just such a thought out message, but it provoked so much like clarity for hopefully that girl to realize what she said was idiotic. She was basically saying like that all she said not all, but then at the same time said, but all estheticians like suck. And like, she has had a better time clearing her own skin using these products. And I'm like, the irony and like the contradictory of her entire post, you were just like, and you weren't mean. But I love, so what my point to this was, is like, I love how you also not only spend the time to educate your page, but you also go onto like other people's trending material and like put your two cents in as an esthetician who wants to advocate for the community. Yeah. Not a lot of people do that.
I know which post you're talking about. And I was just talking to someone else about this afterward because they had seen the same thing. And I think it's hard because when someone, again, when you feel like you know someone, they come across, I understand what this person was trying to do. They're trying to be relatable. Like, I feel like now that I've been in the skincare industry and the aesthetics industry for so long, I can see through marketing a little bit better. Like, I really feel like that's one of my superpowers, is being able to see through what someone's doing to market versus what someone's doing to actually connect and build a relationship with someone. And it just didn't, it came across so, like you said, disingenuous. Like, it was like they were saying, not all estheticians, but then at the end it was like, and this is a dated industry. It's just so crazy.
Totally. I just felt like too, I mean, I looked at her page and like, I don't know, I saw it. I get it. She's branding herself to be unlike the others, you know, like, yeah, it's fine.
That's the world we live in. I think that's part of being a discerning consumer, is being able to see through that a little bit better. And it's not to say that sometimes a product will work for you, like she's promoting. It's just take it with, like, don't take it so, like, as Bible, you know, like, don't take it as, like, this is your gospel and, like, you're gonna take everything, which I see that happening. There are even esthetician influencers who I feel like people just buy whatever they're selling because it's them selling it.
Mm-hmm. I know. I could not agree with you more. I was just with my esthetician talking about this, how we were talking about the Sephora sale. And I was like, it's such a crappy week for estheticians because the Sephora sale happens and all of the companies that are within the Sephora brand pays influencers to influence these products. And then what happens is like you have all of these huge people being like, save 20%, which seems like a lot. I mean, it is. And then they go and they buy all these products and they have $300 invested in this. So they're not going to go pay for an esthetician because that costs $200. So like, it's this vicious cycle of the internet. And like, your job as a service provider is to be able to, once the person books and is in your room, be able to educate on why. But until they get to that point, it's hard. Because they just look at you like, oh, you're just mad because you don't care. You know, that's another big thing about our industry, I think, that a lot of people get confused about as consumers, is a lot of consumers think that estheticians are only selling skincare to benefit their businesses. And so I think when they see you complain about Sephora and Ulta, their brains go, well, they're just doing that because they're protecting, you know what I mean? And I kind of wish that that would stop, because I'm like, no, like, under no circumstances does an esthetician want to take a client on and have them not get the results that they're asking for. That's literally the point of paying them in the first place, them being us estheticians.
I think it's such an interesting dynamic, the esthetician and the client, and the esthetician and the potential client or the potential buyer of products, because as estheticians, a lot of our business is retail. A lot of our business is selling products. But the reason is because our clients will not see results unless they are taking home the products, unless they're using the products at home. We see our clients once or twice a month, and they are at home in front of their mirror 60 times a month doing something that is going to contribute to their results. So that's, I think, where I think we need to keep our focus there. Like, that's, as estheticians, we need to focus that, where I always say estheticians don't need to sell products. We just need to educate our clients on, listen, you're seeing me twice a month. You're seeing yourself 60 times a month in the mirror. Like, this is the way it is. Your results are so much more dependent on what you're doing at home. And I know what will work for you. That's the beauty of seeing a professional. Like, as estheticians, we're the authority and we know what will work for our clients. And just standing in that, we don't have to sell products. We don't have to. And I really hate that so many estheticians get scared to sell, because we really just don't have to sell at all.
Mm-hmm. I've been taking, I told you in the last podcast episode, yeah, sales classes, because that's a thing I'm getting myself to get really comfortable around. What even is selling? And when you think about that as a whole, then it can completely help with how you feel about selling in the first place, because selling isn't about selling the product. It's about selling the payoff and the why, right? And that sounds fun. I want to provide someone a payoff, and I want to provide the why someone could get that payoff. So now all of a sudden I'm like, oh wait, selling isn't scary, but what people attach selling to is like nervous, fearful, rejection, and like instead of positioning
and
selling
like
and cheesy and yes. And what's like another one, predatory,
yeah,
you know, but like the society has attached these words to selling, which selling isn't any of these things when you're actually wanting the payoff, the benefit, the, you know what I mean? Like, it's funny, it's like, how do you view selling? Because that's how you approach selling. So I am trying to learn how to approach that better, because I've conditioned myself for many, many, many years to also say predatory, you know, all of those things. And so it's such like an interesting topic as a whole. I'm actually like teaching a class on Friday to my Waxing Guide members all about this, because I love to learn and then I love to give, because I'm like, you know, I'm also doing the work while I'm teaching them to do the work. I don't want to just say, yeah, you guys learn. No, I'm going to do it with them. So I do want to talk about this a little bit with you, because when I think of you, I think if I had to do one word, I think mindset. The reason why I think this is because I think being in this industry for as long as you have, being able to do all of the things you've been able to do as an esthetician, like let's say podcast, the Golden Experience, moving your location, speaking, there's so many things that you have done that most people want to do. And I really tie this all back to one important thing, and that is mindset. And more importantly, like, how do you, first of all, it's going to be a little bit of a long question. How did you start accumulating the proper mindset to even get yourself in a position of doing this? A, because like you said, you were just 18 years old. You were going through really bad acne, which by the way, is crazy for me to hear that looking at your skin. It's absolutely mind blowing for me to hear that.
I had a lot of microneedling done. So the microneedling you were just talking about. It really does work for the scarring. Anyway, sorry to
interrupt. Yeah, no, I'm going through a whole acne journey. Everybody, if you follow me on my Instagram, you know that. So I'm hearing that and seeing her skin. I'm like, oh my gosh, I just cannot wait. Okay, so, you know, you went through. So you were not like gifted this platform. You were not like, oh, you're Ashley, perfect. Let's give you 100,000 followers. Let's give you all these clients. Let's get you on stage. None of that stuff happened. So where did you find yourself getting like this mindset and like surrounding yourself around the idea that mindset can start to elevate the way that you looked at this career and how this career ended up looking at you back?
I love this question because it's something I feel like I was working on a lot in my 20s and when I was kind of quote unquote lost, because I think a lot of people feel lost, and that was me. I didn't know I was boxing. I was doing eyelash extensions. Like, I was doing everything. I was getting jobs at like spas inside of gyms. And I was trying to do everything to pay my bills, to stay afloat. And I was living in San Francisco and I was having fun. I was having like a fun 20s experience. But even though I felt like I was doing the work and I was like, quote unquote, hustling, and I was like making all the ends meet and paying all the bills, I did not have a growth mindset at that point. I feel like that was just me staying above water. And me and my ex-fiance moved to Los Angeles because I felt like it would help my career. I don't know why. I just felt like it was going to help my career. And I had like this intuitive ping. You have to move to LA. Like, it's going to be so much better for your career. You're going to figure out what you want to do. And we moved to LA, and an element of that was true. I was still hustling, though. I was still working for other people for a couple years. I was building a clientele, but I think what really helped me was working for other people and working so hard for other people and realizing that I could do the same thing for myself. I didn't grow up with a lot of money. I didn't like have a silver spoon in my mouth when I was growing up. Like I had a really turbulent upbringing. So I never really thought that I could be a business owner and be successful at it. I never really thought that it was going to be like easy for me to support myself if I was a business owner. And I just never even thought about it. But as I was working for other people and I was seeing other people doing it, I think that's what it was. It was being surrounded by people who were doing it and feeling that expansiveness. Like I was like, oh, if they can do it, I can do it. I worked for people who were doing a great job. And then I worked for people who were not doing a great job. And I learned so much in that process. And it started getting me thinking. I watched them do it badly and still keep going. And that's when I started really developing that mindset of growth and understanding that a growth mindset is failing and being okay with failing and keeping going, and that it's going to be okay. And that your life isn't going to end, the world isn't going to end, and that you just keep going. Like to me, that's what a growth mindset is not letting failure stop you. Like you can slow down, it's like a speed bump. You maybe slow down, you maybe pivot, but you don't let failure or when something goes really wrong, you don't let it stop you in your tracks, or you don't let it like make you quit.
I'm like in a trance because I just like, I feel like I was like a late bloomer in like a growth mindset in this industry. I actually started this podcast when I wasn't at all in a growth mindset. So if that tells you anything, it launched in 2020. So it's really been short term for me, but I just like love the fact that, you know, and it's so simple, right? You just said when you fail, not if you fail, when you fail, because it will happen,
yes.
You keep going and that's it. Like, I think a lot of people tie growth mindset and success to things that are not true. People think to be successful means you don't go through those failures, or like if you go through the failure, then you're done. And it's like, it's not game over. It's just a lost life. You know what I mean? Like you still get to continue to move forward. And actually, one of the things I was talking with my esthetician today, because she's building a storefront and she's like going through all these roadblocks and things like that. And she thought her timeline looked a certain way and now it's not. But the thing is I'm like, there's something really powerful about pushing all your chips in.
Yes.
And like not being able to go back. And I think like when you said like you just had to like develop that growth mindset and go, that had to have been a big moment for you to just put all of your chips in. Because when you do, and that's I think what a lot of estheticians do incorrectly when they think about growing and they think about like finally doing it, is they're like up to the cold pool and they'll put in a toe and then they'll just put in a toe and they'll put in like a little finger next. And it's like, I'm telling you right now, the best thing to do is jump in.
Yeah.
And put all your chips in, because when you can no longer look back, I think that's when you start to really like pivot forward in a way that you've never seen yourself do that, you know, do in any way, shape or form, because you're going all in.
I totally agree with you. It's putting your back against the wall. I tell people this all the time. It's like when I had all those jobs in my 20s and I was just working for other people, it was like I always had a backup plan. I always had a plan mm-hmm. B. It's actually something my dad taught me, was always have a plan B for yourself. But I wasn't thinking about it in terms in the right way, because you can have a plan B and it can be you. Like you can be your plan B.
Totally.
But I completely agree with you. And I think that's the key, is jumping all in, like quit the job, quit the receptionist job, put your back against the wall and you'll be surprised. I think that's what a lot of people need to hear. And you have to do it your own way, right? Like, I'm not mm-hmm. saying like abandon your bills and go into debt, but
like quitting your job tomorrow. No, but like, let's work towards like that date, right? Like yeah. There was, Alyssa Cotter. I don't know if you know her. She created Lizzie Skincare, and she wanted to stop taking clients so that she could focus primarily on Lizzie Skincare. And she gave herself a date. Her goal in 2021 was to quit taking clients of December 2023. And when that date came, she cut it off. So like, it doesn't have to be something that you say, oh, well, okay, Kirsten and Ashley just told me to quit my job.
Please don't do that.
But if you're unhappy in where you are and there's somewhere that's being like you're being pulled to do something else, it's time to start looking at the plan and changing the direction that you're currently going in. I just like, I love that. And I think you are like, you embody that when I think about a person.
I love that you brought up Alyssa. I don't know her personally, but I follow her and I see all the things she does. And she does like the esthetician retreats. And it actually made me think about, I think every person who has a growth mindset really deeply understands that not only do you have to put your back up against a wall and like really rely on yourself and not take failure as like your like dying thing, like don't let it kill you, but you also have to surround yourself with other people who have a growth mindset. That's another thing that I think has helped me more than anything else. Before I moved to LA, I didn't have community. And I didn't feel like anyone there was taking the career as seriously as people in LA. And it just was me, you know, it was me not surrounding myself with the right people or going to the right places, I think. But I think the move for me really kicked it into gear. Okay, now you get to choose who your friends are and you can find other people with a growth mindset. And I did. And that is what helps me sustain the growth mindset, is having people. And we talked about this in my in the podcast I did with you on mine, but having real friends, having people who are there to support you and a shoulder to cry on when you need to, someone to vent to when you go through the failures.
Yeah. And getting friends that make you want to be up with them. I will tell you, like, you don't want to be that friend where everyone around you is like flourishing and growing. And then you're sitting here like a bump on a log. Like, you're not going to want to be that friend.
You can't be. I don't think you can be. Your environment is stronger than you.
I don't think you can be. I think the only thing that can happen is you start to adapt and want to be that person. And so when you say like you moved to LA because you felt like they were taking the career more serious, I feel like that is such a powerful pivot for you and probably ended up being so much more, like you said, monumental to like your actual growth in the industry, because I agree with that. Like, if you're around a lot of people that are just slugging their way through, which is fine, right? I have met people that just kind of want to keep it the way that it is. And like, for that reason, for them, it works. But yeah, like, if I look at me and who I am today and think of myself as being that person still who I was when I had known people like you were saying, I would be so unhappy. I may be doing the same thing. I may be making money, but I don't think I would truly be fulfilled in any way, shape, or form. And that makes me so sad to think about, you know, people maybe in that same predicament right now because they've surrounded themselves with people that don't want them to grow, or, you know, because some people do not want to see you grow.
I could not, you know? Oh my gosh. I've been through this. I've been in a relationship where I think the person I was with didn't want to see me grow or was threatened by my growth. And it's hard. It's debilitating. It paralyzes you when you're around that. It's almost like poison when you're around people like that, because, and it's a projection. It's a complete projection on them. And you have to, at the end of all of it, feel sad for them, because you want everyone around you to be growth mindset and you want the best for people. That's, I think, another part of like having growth mindset is letting the bitterness go, like dropping the resentment for people like that and just letting them go. Like, you don't, it doesn't have to be a big fight. It doesn't have to be a big bitter ending. Like, it can just be, we're not on the same like level anymore. And not in a mean way, but just in a way of like, I'm going this direction, you're going this direction, and that's okay. Like, not everyone is meant to up level with you.
Yeah, no. And everybody's timing is different. You know, that same person that could have been holding you back could be a speaker at a TED talk in 10 years. Like, you don't know. It's just, it wasn't their timeline and it didn't match yours. And I give you so much props to being able to recognize that and pull yourself out of a situation like that, because most people don't. And honestly, most people instead, they allow the person who's projecting all of their fears onto them to allow them to also be pulled down, because how, you know, it's really easy to accept good compliments and like to like, you're doing it, good job, we're so proud of you. Those are always fun to hear, but it really only takes one person to be like, you suck, you're not doing good enough. Could you know what I mean? You could hear 100, like me making a post on Instagram about Enso launching, I could have 100 posts of people being like, I think what your brand, what you're doing with your brand is amazing. I think this, if I had one person that was like, I can see through all your bullshit, you suck, you know, like,
Well, I think we all deeply, like, we all deep down have a little bit of imposter syndrome. And so,
totally.
And no one's perfect. And so you can have this great growth mindset and like you can be so successful and then you still have your own shit. Like we all have.
Totally. But like, thank God most strangers don't do that stuff. But the point of that is, guess who does that stuff? People do that stuff when they're close to you. Your inner circle can do that stuff to you, right? Like you, we've all been children. We've all had a mom or a dad or a parental person. So we all know what it feels like to come home being with your classmates and your, you know, crisscross applesaucing at school and come home and just completely go in on your parents. And I hate you. You suck. You know what I mean? Like we all know that feeling. And so seriously, you don't maybe get to choose your family, but you certainly as hell get to choose your friends. And you certainly as hell get to choose your partner. And if these people are choosing to, you know, project all of their fears on you, and that's why you're not growing, but you feel the motivation to do it, look around who you're surrounding yourself with, because I really can guarantee you, if you change the people you surround yourself with, you will change your life. Me and you talked about this. I said my esthetician friends are my net. I love my other friends too, but they're just not in this industry. They're my biggest hype girls. Listen, I have a group chat. I will, anytime I'm feeling some certain way, they're like, no, bitch. You are. They'll be like, you are that bitch. You are. Oh my God. I love them.
I love it. We all need that.
We do. I have the best hype man outer circle. When I say outer, I just mean out of esthetician circle. But my inner esthetician circle, and you know how this feels. It's like, I love them so much because they make me better because I aspire to be them.
Yeah.
And they aspire to be, you know, someone else or whatever. But like, I love that I'm able to like be in the same room as people that also want to be somebody. Ugh, it's so powerful.
It really is. And it's contagious. There's no way, just in the same way that someone who doesn't have a growth mindset or is maybe stuck or feeling stuck can pull you down like quicksand with them, someone who is on the trajectory, that the same kind of trajectory as you and wants to grow and wants to up level, they will. We bring each other with each other. Mm-hmm. We help each other. Like we help each other rise. Like that's just the way it is. And there's no energy. This is something I've been thinking about a lot. There's no energy for anything else. So that's why it's so important to also drop the resentment, right? Because we can get, so when we have these breakups or whatever, like in friends or in relationships, like it can be so easy to get caught up in like the drama of it and then let that bring you down. But there's no, like, if you're on the growth trajectory, there's no energy for that. Like you have to stay so focused on where you're headed.
Yeah. I'm going to completely switch gears here because you are such a complex person. There's like so much to tackle in our conversation. I really want, and it all comes back to growth, right? I feel like anything I ask you, we can tailor it right back to the growth. But you move to LA. You start to see what business owners are doing and not doing. You start to think to yourself, even though I wasn't raised to think that business owning is my journey, I'm here feeling like it's my next calling. This obviously goes well because I'm now talking to the very future version of yourself after that decision. And yet you've still done all of these things. So like you got the clients, you got the space, you got the ownership, you hired the employees. Like, where do you feel like the golden experience really tied in for you? Because I think to myself too, right? As somebody who's also has a couple of different things outside of the treatment room. Like I know my own reasons and my own itch, but it's always really nice to hear like other people who venture out of the treatment room to do other sources of projects, especially no longer to treat clients, but actually you're helping estheticians.
Yeah, the Golden Experience Guide has been a huge project for me for the past couple years. It started actually when I was part of Bosses and Beauty, which the program that you, like, you know Rhea really well.
Yes.
So I was a guest coach in the first program that she did. of BBB, and I taught a class called Rock Your Retail. And it felt like a big opportunity at the time because I was really good at selling retail. I was really good with teaching my employees how to do it, having conversations with other estheticians about it. Ashley Melcher and I were hosting Bubbles in Business shortly after that when I met her. And I started to feel this sense of real community around me. And I was like, this is amazing. Like, and I was feeling it in my own life. And I was like, how can I bring this to the community in my own way? And I really wanted to teach. And I was just talking to Nakia Simone about this. I'm not sure if you know her, but she's an esthetician in Florida as well. And she was saying, like, she brought up a really great Maya Angelou quote, like, as we learn, we must teach. And it made me, like, I had a huge light bulb moment when I heard her say that, because that's exactly how I feel. Like, as I'm learning and progressing and growing in this industry, I want to teach that to other estheticians. And I really wanted Golden Experience Guide to be accessible. I wanted it to be something that someone who was busy in the treatment room could do at any point. And so that's where really the idea came along, to do self-paced mini courses. So really digestible courses that people could learn the knowledge that someone like me, who's been in the industry for a long time, has to share, and learn the things that took me so long to learn, and learn it like instantly. And not to say totally. Like, you still have to implement it and you mm-hmm. still have to take the action. But I really wanted to be able to share these little golden nuggets, because I was never given that opportunity. Like, I had to do it the hard way. And I was like, this doesn't have to be. I really like to like break a cycle. Like, that's what I love to do. And Golden Experience Guide is my way of breaking the cycle of you have to like pay your dues. And like, I don't believe that's true anymore. I think if you have the right mindset and you have the right goals in mind and you have the right people around you, you can do it with education and learning from people, mentors and people who have been there and done that.
I always say too, Rhea says this often, but she says collapsing the timeline. And yes. I love it because it's true. I think that like before the internet and before mentors and coaches and all of that stuff, and like, I get it, it's saturated and there's so many to choose from. But when you think about that, you can also say, oh my God, there's so many to choose from. Who do I feel like best serves me? Then you can start being picky. See, like, I've learned to look at everything in two ways, right? Because I look at everything in the way most people look at everything, which is, oh, coaches, mentors, oh, this is just so saturated and a bunch of BS, right? But yeah. Then I also take that information and I look at it as if I was looking at it in a growth mindset. And it's, wow, there are all these people and resources for me to learn and to better myself and collapse my timeline. Because like, what better way to know how to do things in your treatment room than going to the Golden Experience, paying for a mini course that teaches you how to do it in a more effective and faster way? You know, and like when you just like start to look at things that like, yeah. Oh, wow, what can this do for me? Like, look at this stuff as a selfish person, because that's what you're doing. You're selfishly deciding that you are worth the opportunity to crush your timelines.
Yeah, totally. And I love that saying of like collapsing the timelines. I've heard that before, and I've read that in books that I've read, and I like self-development books, and I feel like that has always resonated really well with what I'm trying to do as well. Is I want to bring people together, but I also want people to collapse their timelines and not have to like spend years and years and years figuring out something that is so simple. Like, it's simple if you have the information.
Yes.
Right? Like, if someone gives you the information, sometimes you still have to go do it and learn it the hard way and learn it for yourself. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you're like, maybe I will try it this way and maybe that will work better than what I was originally going to do. I mean, I'm someone who learns from my failures. Like, I know that about myself.
Me too. It's like,
I have to go through it. I have to do it the wrong way first to learn. But at least you have the information. You can still do it the wrong way and know, okay, there is a better way. I'll try it the better way next time.
Yeah, totally. So when you concepted the Golden Experience, What was like the goal? And I guess, has that changed? Is there like a new goal, or have you, not that the mission's changed, obviously, I feel like it hasn't, but like, where do you see it going?
So I, at first it was really just going to be virtual. Like, that's really what I wanted to do, was create a virtual platform. But we have been talking about, we're moving to Arizona in July. So we've been talking about opening a training facility in Arizona for the Golden Experience Guide and leasing out space for educators to come and teach their own classes. So
that's amazing.
I think that is, well, that's what I'm talking about right now. I don't know. Like, I'm trying to keep an open mind. I'm someone who, once I get it in my mind to do something, like, I just go straight forward into it. And sometimes I can be a little short-sighted. So I'm trying to just let more ideas flow, but that's really what I'm thinking the direction is going to be for
it's
now.
Why I like podcasting, because podcasting like allows, you know, the thing is, I say this in like so many of my episodes, so people are probably over this at this point. I get it. But I'm like, I love podcasting so much because, like, think about who people thought you were versus who they get to see you are in a podcast setting. Like, there's nothing like learning about somebody in an hour of someone's time when they sit down, talk about their goals, their dreams, even if they're not even true yet. Like, I just think it's so powerful, and Instagram can be such a interesting place. I always find there to be so much more light in the podcasting world, because you get to see, like, you know, you were 18 starting out, acne, you know, got just solved from an esthetician, what, a year before that? Like, I don't know, like, I never even knew that about you, and you and I are friends. Think about, like, people that are just follow you.
I think it's going deeper. I love podcasting because you're able to go deeper, and you and I are both Gary Vaynerchuk fans, but he always talks so about much. Going deeper and not wider. So I think Instagram is so vast. Instagram is wide, right? Like, you're following thousands of people sometimes. Like, it's like hard to keep up with everyone. You're seeing little tiny snippets, 8 seconds of people usually. And then you're moving on to the next person, where a podcast is an hour usually, a half hour, hour. And you're able to really go a little bit deeper and hear and see different sides of people.
Yeah, for sure. It's just so nice. I know, I like Gary V is like always, that's like my guilty pleasure. Because feel like you hate him or you love him. And I don't know why people are I don't know. I'm like, that he's my guilty pleasure. I love Gary
V. I was going to ask you, have you been to VCon? Have you been to his conference?
I've never been to his conference. I just got into him in the last, like, because remember I told you my growth mindset really just started evolving. Like, to be honest, in 2021, I don't think I even developed it in 2020 yet. So, like, I'm very new to the world of, like, these people. And now I'm like about to buy a ticket. I will go by myself. It's in Orlando. It's like June something. I don't think Gary V is going to be there, although I think that he's promoting it, but there's like a ton of really great speakers. And I just want to get in the room with so many people, Ashley. Yeah. I'm like, I don't even care if they're in my industry or do what I do. Yes. I really do find that there is only, it takes someone giving me one sentence that can change my life.
I went to VCon 2 years ago with my medical director, Sarah Amalie, and she's a big Gary Vee fan too. She told me about the book. She bought me the book, 12 and a half. I don't know if you've read it by
him. No. I'm reading a marketing book right now, so he's on my list.
You should definitely read it, especially since you're hiring. It's called 12 and a half, and it's all about building culture. And I was just listening to your podcast with Mackenzie, and you guys were talking a lot about culture and how that's a culture in the workplace and how that's so important. But you'll love this book, audiobook, whatever, however you consume books. But I went to VCon, and I literally had so many light bulb moments. It changed my life. Like, just
I love going this.
To one conference like that. I saw Deepak Chopra talk. I saw so many people, just like so many random people, musicians, Pharrell. I saw Pharrell speak. Like, it was just like a very interesting group of artists and like people who you would never think would be like so growth mindset and like so have so much to offer. And it was kind of crazy because when we first started talking about going, I was like, I don't know if this is like my scene. It's going to be like a lot of tech nerds and stuff. And it was, Yeah. But it honestly was life-changing. Like, I came back from that conference like a different person.
Now, it's funny because let me ask you this. What do you think all of those people, my kid's pencil, it's like huge. What do you think all of those people, right? Musicians, mm-hmm. tech people, Gary Vee. Sometimes I'm like, what does he do? I mean, I know what he does and I know how he did it and all the things, but I laugh because now he's just motivational. You know, he doesn't like, yes. I know he does things, but like, what do they all have in common?
They all have the growth mindset. They all have the drive, and they all are surrounded by great people. It seems like they have the energy. Like, that's another thing. I'm really big on energy, and I really think that energy is so contagious, and they all seem to have that same like light in their eyes, right? Like, you can really tell a person by having an hour-long conversation with them, or by just sitting in a room with someone, or spending 10 minutes with someone. Like, do they have the light in their eyes? Like, that's what our clients are looking for in us when they come to see us. Do they have the passion? Like, you can just feel the energy from people who are like highly successful. They're like devoted to self-care. They're, you know, devoted to their routines. Like, they're not letting people get them down.
Yep. I could not agree more. So I'm going in June. I don't care if I have to go by myself. I'm driving myself to Orlando. I want to sit in the room because, yeah, like, I just paid like 2 weeks ago, I paid like $97, nothing, right? Any program that I know I can ingest, right? I'm not going to like, because I'm also not like a course. Like, there are some people that just like overconsume.
Yeah.
Programs. And I try to not be that person either, because I don't want to ever buy things so often that I end up not doing any of it. But I bought this $97 program. I was in there for an hour for 1 week. And I'm telling you, like, the amount of small things that probably, you know, you think about like value to others versus value to yourself. And these might have been things that people didn't even care or listen to, but like, the things that got stuck in my brain from this week, I'm like, oh my gosh. And I just think that there's so much power in like, and even if these people can't be your friends, follow them, right? Like, be a part of their community.
Yes.
It's why Instagram lives there in a whole. People think Instagram is, you know, so much more than it is, but really it's just a place to connect.
Yeah. And expand upon. I mean, something I'm doing more frequently right now is inviting people I look up to that are really big accounts on the podcast. I just invited this girl who I was like, she's never going to reply to me like at all. Like, I was like, there's no way if I invite her on the podcast, like, she'll never come on. Like, I literally thought that in my head, but I was like, I'm going to do it anyway. And she was like, sure, like, I'll come on. And she was on the podcast. Like,
that's amazing. That's amazing. I had one of those moments. It was like a couple of years ago, but you know, the Beauty BFF podcast with, it yes. was, they're no longer a podcast, but it was with Lorena and Casey.
Yes.
I remember talking to Mackenzie and I was like, I really want to ask them to come onto my podcast, but I feel like my stupid little podcast, like, yeah. they had been these pioneers in the yes. industry. And they said yes. And I'm now friends with Lorena. And I'm like, how crazy is that? The stories we tell ourselves.
Yes.
To make ourselves get out of things that could be such opportunities. There was a girl that DM'd me and she's like, I really want to take my cards to this Pilates place, but I can't afford to go there right now. So I feel like they're not going to carry my cards. And I messaged her back and I said, I love you. So let me tell you something. This is a story that you're telling yourself and therefore yes. you're not doing, right? You know, by the way, this is how you know you're like old. People do this now.
They used to have the phones with the uh-huh. cords.
Because I was like doing this and I'm like, oh, this is the, yeah, people do like this, or people just don't even do that anymore. People don't do this anymore, Ashley. Okay. So anyway, I told her though, I'm like, these are the stories that you're telling yourself. Therefore, if you allow yourself to tell you these stories, you're never going to do it. You have to do it anyway. And anyway, yeah. it was cool. Cause that's what you just did with that girl. I know I've had a memory of myself doing that when I didn't think a shot in hell, many things. Oh my gosh. For them. I mean, I could go, the list goes on and on, but, yeah. So
I think that's the beauty of Instagram, is that you never know who you're going to come across and who could be your new friend, like great friend in the industry yeah. or in a related industry even. I think I think that's another thing is I think a lot of estheticians get so caught up in the comparison game on Instagram because they're following 8,000 other estheticians.
Totally. Like,
diversify.
All living in different locations with different, like, you know, sweet mediums. Like some people, like Ashley Melcher pays three times what I'm paying. Well, used to, because now she's in a bigger space. But like what she was paying for her 100 square foot place is vastly different from somebody. Someone could be paying that in a storefront in Alabama. Yeah. So like also taking that with a grain of salt, when you look at what other people are doing, like also realize like we all live in different locations. We all have like, Ashley, when you told me that you're in a loft home situation.
Yeah.
I was Googling at 2 in the morning. I'm like, Tampa, loft home situation. It doesn't exist here. It doesn't exist here.
I wish it existed everywhere, honestly. So I'm in a live work loft. So downstairs,
that's what it's called, a live work.
Yeah. So it's a commercial space on the bottom. It's completely separate from the apartment, but you open up one of the doorways and it goes to a stairwell that goes up to our apartment. And it's amazing. Like, it's
absolutely amazing. I am so jealous of this.
I think it exists. I think you just have to look harder.
Okay. Well, I was looking all night one night. I was like, I don't know why I all of a sudden want to be in a live workspace after talking to you, but I was like, I want to be in a live workspace.
It's so nice because I come down and I get inspired at like the witching hour, like 2 or 3 a.m. And I just come down and like I'm working and it's so quiet and it's separate. Like I actually feel, and as projectors, you're a projector too in human design, we need our own aura-free space. And so being able to kind of go to an aura-free space whenever I want so easily, like just walking downstairs, it's like a game changer. I think you need to live in a live work loft.
I'm trying. I'm literally trying. So you guys, this is my new goal of 2025. I'm like, I want to be in a live workspace. Period. So, okay. Before we hop off, I want to talk to you really quick because there was something that you told me. I don't even think this was being recorded. I think this was post-recording because I was asking you about the hiring process. You gave me a question that I have now had so much fun asking everyone that comes into contact with me. Let's talk about it. So Ashley tells me, I go, Ashley, if you could give me one question that you love that you ask other estheticians as you're hiring them that you feel like you get the most out of, what is it? And she says,
you need to ask your potential employees if you were hosting a party at your house and it was cutting it kind of close and the Christmas lights, it was a Christmas party, the Christmas lights were not up on the tree yet and you had Christmas lights, but they were all tangled up and whoever you're hiring was in charge of getting the tree like lit up with the Christmas lights, would they sit there and untangle the Christmas lights or would they go out and buy a new set of Christmas lights to save the time?
Yes. I love this question. I worded it a little bit differently, I think, because I think I simply just said, if I was like, in a job setting, if you were asked to untangle really tangled lights, would you sit there and untangle them or would you opt into buying new lights is how I asked the question. Cause I
love that. Yeah.
Okay. I'm like, is it still as good? Cause that's what I did. Anyway.
You can make this your own, you know?
So what was really cool about this, oh my God, I've asked so many people. I'm intrigued because it's not the answer. It's the why.
Yeah.
The answer is irrelevant. The answer is both correct. It's the why. And what I love about this, and the more I really thought about why I liked this, is because I'm like, most of the time when you interview people, you say things like, name a time when something went wrong that you've fixed it, right? And these are questions that most people probably have in their back pocket.
They're prepared for.
Yeah. They're interviewing. I love this question because it's not deceitful. It's an easy, simple question. Like, it's not something that's going to like make your palms shake and nervous at the other end of things. Cause I also, as an interviewer, didn't want to make the person feel like that. Like that's,
no, I wanted not about that. Yeah.
But also you can't make up this answer. Like you can't think, okay, well, she's going to want, It's just so, I cannot get over this question.
Okay, so just to give the listeners a little backstory, we sat there and like, she like dissected, what does this mean? Is there a right answer? And I was like, no, like there's no right answer. It's really just about, like you said, it's the way they answer it.
It's the why, and
it's problem solving.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. So I'm going to go ahead and have you share your answer.
Okay.
And I'll share mine. Let's see if they're different. And I'm going to share with like what a couple of people answered. And then I want to hear what your girl answered.
I love this. Okay. So I would go out and buy new lights because I am all about efficiency and I'm not going to spend an hour or however long and stress myself out. And I literally, you guys, like I break out in hives when I'm stressed out. Like my chest gets red. Everything about being stressed like does not sit well with my body. And so if we're at a party or like if I'm like, I'm not going to stress myself out. I've just learned that about myself over time. Like I'd rather just save the time, go by the lights. That's my answer.
Yeah. And so my answer is that I also would go and buy the lights. And I have come to the conclusion that it's because I actually get really frustrated in tedious situations like that. And it would be so much more useful of my time to buy the lights and then fill that last 2 hours with actually something that we can move the needle forward. So now these people, right, listening may go, well, it's because they're both business owners. This is why they think this way. Wrongo, because I have asked other business owners this question, gotten the opposite answer, and this was one of the answers that I had received. They said that they would sit there and untangle the lights because they believe in their carbon footprint and they believe in sustainability, and the lights work. So they don't believe that it would be effective to go buy new lights when these are perfectly capable of being used. And I was like, in my head, I'm like, okay, the ones that say that they're going to tangle are like employees, and the ones that say they were going to buy have like that business owner mindset. No, ma'am. It is all different across the board. It's the why.
It's the why. And just being thoughtful in your answer. I think when you ask this question to someone, it really triggers something in their brain to think on their feet, which is what an interview really should be about. And it's not to stress them out, like you said, it's just to really get to know how they problem solve and how they're going to perform. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about if you're hiring an esthetician, you have to do a practical interview, right? Like you have to see what their skills are like. I've never gotten a job as an esthetician without doing a practical interview, period, because that's just how it goes. And this is like a practical question.
It is a practical question. I love it so much. I've asked so many people. I had another business owner say that she would hire somebody for cheaper to untangle the lights.
I love it.
I said, oh God, we're going down to layers on this. I'm like, oh my God. But then, you know, so the girl that I ended up hiring for my virtual assistant position, I'm really excited. She starts next week. Her answer was that she would untangle the lights. And the reason why is because she really does take like the pride into her work. And when given something, like she literally could not sleep at night knowing that like she just abandoned these lights. Girl, me, I'd sleep perfect. I'd be like, hell yeah. I'm sleeping
like a baby. Yeah.
I'm sleeping like a baby. I'm like, because the frustration that would come out of me, like necklaces that like won't. Oh, no. Are you kidding me? Now I love, like, don't get me wrong. I love having like a goal. And then I love working towards that goal. I love figuring that stuff out. But like that little meticulous, I'm like, I can't even do it. So
you learn a lot about a person just with the one question. And that's what I think being an efficient business owner, interviewing people, if you're hiring team, it's all about efficiency. You don't want to waste anyone's time, especially now. People have an attention span of 8 seconds now because of TikTok. Like you're not going to sit totally and have hour-long interviews. Like you said, all of the basic questions. Yes, like those questions are important and you want to kind of see. But it's more about understanding. I love the quote, you can learn more about a person in an hour of play than you can in a year of conversation. Like it's about like the action piece of, this is something I teach in my mentorship and in my mastermind. It's all about action. Like we have to take action to propel forward. We can study, we can like take all the courses, right? But it's really about implementation.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, for everyone listening, where can they connect with you, find you? I want all of the sources because there's many, but they can all be used in so many different ways. Like truly, I think you're able to connect with Ashley no matter who you are. And what a great thing.
Thank you. And thank you for having me on today. You can find me at Golden Experience Guide on Instagram. And you can also find me at Ageless Ashley, but go follow Golden Experience Guide if you're an esthetician. You can also go find my podcast, Good Skin Circle, everywhere you listen to podcasts, and go check out our masterclasses on Golden Experience Guide. It's goldenexperienceguide.com.
It's amazing, guys. I can tell you, for one, I know many of your coaches in there, and I just, they're all brilliant. You've thoughtfully picked out every single person teaching every single thing, because that's another thing I will add right before we hop off, is that you didn't leave it up to yourself to hold all the knowledge. You outsourced and you found the knowledge with people that you think held it just amazingly for the community. And I think that it's in itself is so powerful.
Yeah, bringing the educators together, that was a big piece, because I have all these friends who have the same experience as me, and I'm like, we need to just come together and elevate and not be doing so many separate things. Everyone is out for themselves. Mm-hmm. And that's the last thing I'll say too, is like, don't be, if you're an esthetician and you're struggling with community, maybe look outside yourself, like collaborate with someone mm-hmm. on something, on a reel, on, you know, like there's so much opportunity for growth when you collaborate with other people who might even be doing very similar things as you. Like, don't look at every other person as your competition, because no one is your competition except for yourself.
Yeah, 100%. Everyone, let us leave with the best sentence of the entire episode. I agree with that wholeheartedly. Thank you so much for coming onto the podcast.
Thank you for having me. Yay. This was amazing. I can't wait to listen.
Yay.